This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a Thanksgiving Monday throughout the country, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. A lot of people actually texting in and tweeting in with their turkey dump stories.
There has been a couple?
There's been a couple of them, so we'll try to scatter them in throughout the afternoon.
Like recent, or is it like
give me one.
10 years ago in college?
Happened? A lot of it's old school stuff.
Right.
You know. Some guy said he actually got invited down to Michigan because his girlfriend, who he had been with for a long time, went to school down there.
She dumped him there?
Yeah, she called him down for Canadian Thanksgiving. The guy said, yeah, I'll come down. And he got down there, and she gave him the axe.
She did it face-to-face. That's tough.
Yeah, but fly up to back to Toronto. I'm not going down to Michigan. I'm not pulling a passport out to get a turkey dump.
I give you the green light. You can float a text in that situation. Sorry, bud, we're done.
But maybe texting wasn't available back then.
It might have been an old school story. But here's the thing. He's claiming redemption. He said, for American Thanksgiving, she said, can you come back down? And he went back down, and then she was totally into him. Which means this guy from Canadian Thanksgiving all the way to American Thanksgiving, pretty desperate, like, month and a half.
Yeah, she was dating
why would he
somebody
go back?
Else.
Yes.
No kidding.
She was dating somebody else.
Absolutely.
That's the reason why she gave him the gate.
He should have showed up at American Thanksgiving with his new girlfriend.
That's right.
And say, hey, can we stay here, or where are we staying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can come down. Yeah. I'd love to see you again. We'll catch up on old times.
Yeah.
And you show up, and you got a new girl on your arm.
Yeah.
That's
a veteran.
Spicy
note.
Meatball.
Then you reverse turkey dump.
The American turkey dump,
yeah,
which is always
porch.
A bigger American. It's always a much larger celebration.
Yes,
what is
sir.
I always forget, what's the name of the golfer who got caught up in that reverse turkey dump? Remember?
Oh, Jacobson.
The naked guy ran on there.
Oh.
That's
he was at the British Open, and he got tangled up in a roasted turkey on the 18th green.
It didn't go so well.
No.
What was he thinking?
No.
A streaker, fully naked, runs onto the course. This guy's playing. He's got his tour card.
He tackles him and ends up in a tight roasted turkey on the green. Naked. The guy was naked.
Yeah. Like, let security take that one on, dude.
No.
You know, it's not like a football player who lays out some guy who runs on the field, you know?
Yeah, this was.
If you don't have clothes on, I'm letting security take care of that.
That was a compromising position.
Yeah,
it didn't go well.
And the cameras were snapping. There's a Google image.
I was
going to
say that would be a meme nowadays.
Yeah, like, I think you have to like accept that it's like one of those images.
Never
you have to be 18
away.
Or over kind of thing. You know how on YouTube it's like sensitive material.
Yeah.
Basically, if you want to see that pic, you've got to prove that you're 18 or older. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, it was softcore porn.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, not good.
I'm not shaking his hand after the round. Just say, see you in the clubhouse for a pint, pal.
Many pints. Yeah. Many, many
he
pints.
Was scarred. He was
like, walk up, take the hat off, and say, see you inside, brother. We're not doing the old. I love it when golfers, I don't know if you notice this, they usually take their hat off and then they rub their hand through their grubby, sweaty hair and then they just reach out and shake the. I'm like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Just shake the guy's hand or just go to the clubhouse and have a beer.
Yeah, it's like an etiquette thing.
Well, that's the only reason you couldn't do the handshake like that is a guy like Peter Jacobson.
If I saw that on the green, I would walk right into the clubhouse if my ball was done in the hole. I put my score in. I'm walking in, I'm not even acknowledging him.
You pretend he was disqualified for having his snout in certain areas.
Yeah, like,
it didn't go well.
A citizen's arrest that went awry.
Yeah.
The
Toucan Sam special.
Anyway, we mentioned earlier that Rasmus Sandin essentially got the turkey dump today. Kyle Dubas sends him a late night text. let's meet at Tim Hortons and we'll talk about it, and I'll let you know exactly why we're going to turkey dump you on down to the Marlies.
Hey, I think Travis Dermott's coming. I think this kid
Dermott's coming
this
back.
This is not a turkey dump.
Well, it actually is. That doesn't. I mean, listen, a lot of people are texting in saying, I got the turkey dump, and then we got back together at Christmas. I think Rasmus Sandin is going to be a part of this team again at some point this
year. For sure,
they're
getting back together.
Yeah, they're going to get back together, but that doesn't mean it's not like it's news he wants to hear, right? He's going to have to accept that he's a kid, and it's,
who
I think, in the best interest
that
of...
news? Is that the GM, or is
yeah,
it...
Yeah, no, it's a GM.
He's watching Peter Jacobson tackle that guy.
Somebody sent it to me. I'm like, I can't stop laughing about it. I mean, he gets up and he's got his arms in the air like he did something special.
No, he didn't do anything special.
No, getting back to the Sandin situation, it's the GM.
Like, oh, the GM has
Kyle Dubas.
I'll bet
is
you
not
Babcock's
good.
Involved, though. I wouldn't
For
be
sure.
shocked there's if he's right in there.
There's a face-to-face, especially if it's after practice or something. You want to let the kid know that he's special. Like, this isn't, hey, we're sending you down because you had a bad turnover. This is what's best for the player.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Mike Babcock was in there, but guaranteed the general manager would be in there.
Right. It's his decision,
hey,
ultimately,
we're gonna send you down to the Marlies. You know, this is what we'd like you. You know, Sheldon knows what we've talked about up here. Like, I think the one thing that... And again, I'm not behind closed doors, but I think Kyle's a really good communicator. So I don't think he's going to leave the kid in the wind. He probably called the agent and said, we're going to send him down. This is what our thought process is. You know, make sure he's comfortable. He's 19. He's living in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure he's fine.
And I think he understands how valued he is within the organization.
He's a big part of the future of this organization, too.
Absolutely. He probably didn't want to believe it, but... He's human. He probably showed up in September and thought, I'm probably not going to make the team. Right. So it was probably a bonus, the fact that he got to play for the first, you know, week and a half in the NHL.
Right.
And again, I think this is not necessarily about next October. I think there's a very good chance that Rasmus Sandin is up here playing minutes come February, March, April.
It wouldn't surprise me in the new year if he wasn't.
Yeah, if he goes down there and continues to develop and mature and gain some confidence. Now, when he comes up, he's probably going to be on a third pairing again, but you're also bracing yourself for a potential injury. Correct. What if Morgan Riley gets injured in March? Then maybe you need him up here playing power play time or penalty kill time or going up against better competition.
Yeah,
so
he'll be doing more than just filling in.
He'll be playing at that point, and you're going to need him. Mm-hmm. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What was your reaction to the Rasmus Sandin news?
Not surprised. You know, as the minutes sink a little bit and, you know, you get closer to Dermott returning, and so the minutes aren't going to go up. I think it's important for him, more important for him to play than to, you know, I don't buy this thing about, oh, you get better practicing all the time. I just know when, if that were me, after about seven practices, you'd be like, okay, this stinks. I want to play some games. And he's 20 years old, and I don't see a way for him right now to play more minutes. So I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, I think the explanation was sound. I mean, Babcock said it. He said he's not going to play power play, not going to play penalty kill. This is about development. It's about a role he's going to play in the future. Like, they're not trying to mold him into being a fifth defenseman.
No.
They want him to be a top pair guy if he can get there.
Yeah, the other thing to think about this too, like you guys were talking about, you know, if he comes back and or when he comes back, however, whenever that is, you know, if somebody were hurt, you just think, like, it's not like he was standing out like, oh my God, you can't believe how great he is, because he's just a kid on a third pair. So if he comes back and plays in a different pair, then you're playing against better guys more often. And that's even a greater challenge. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we see somebody either scoring a little bit on a fourth line or playing in a third pair and think, well, why don't they just move them up? And the reason is they're probably, for the most part, playing at a level that suits where they're at. And going up against more challenging players is not always a real good idea.
Well, speaking of further down the lineup, how about Frédéric Gauthier?
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
Looked like Mark Messier. I had to watch his shifts today. Like, he was wheeling up and down the ice And I'll tell you what, he was a factor in two of those goals, like being, and the only way I can describe it, and we have fun with this guy, but in years past, he just looked like a guy out there that wasn't even playing hockey. Like, it was like, chip it in the corner, maybe go get it, be a foot short, miss it, chase it to the other side. Like, he's actually making plays that are impacting the game, and I'm happy for the
kid.
I
think his skating's better. Like, I don't, he was, I didn't think he was a terrible skater before at all, but it wouldn't surprise me, and I'm, they've got, you know, skating coaches and stuff. To me, he looks a lot more confident in his skating.
And I'll give them credit, Jamie, because I would have cut ties years ago. How many years has it been? How many years has it been since we interviewed him?
It's been a long time. It's been
5 or 6.
Minimum. 6 years, I think. I think it was a 2013 draft.
Okay, here's another thing. And you tell me, guys, if you agree with this or not. You get to a point where you care less as a player. You're like, you know what? I've been chipping this thing into the corner for 4 years. And, like, screw it. I'm just going to make a play because I'm getting nowhere this other way. I mean, if you feel like you have a more game in your kit, you're going to go, man, I'm going to make a pass. And if I screw up, then I'm going to fix it. And, like, you can't do that if you're a role guy early on, for sure, with Babcock. Like, if a fourth-line guy turns the puck over, he's sunk. Like, that we've seen that. That doesn't jive. And so for, like you say, for 3 years, Freddie was on the punt coverage team. Get it, shoot it down the ice, chase after it, try and crash into somebody. I thought he was unreal in Detroit the other night.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, like, he, on one of the goals, I think it was, it might have been Muzzin's goal. That's the one Timoshov gave across to Muzzin.
Yeah.
But the defensive zone, like, he blew Luke Glendening off his feet. And Glendening's a strong guy. And the goat just blew him off his feet in the face-off. Like, he just, like, steamrolled him. And I was thinking, man, if you're taking a draw against that guy, and now he's got a little aggressiveness to him, man, that's a bear of a face-off. And so first of all, he's fun to cheer for because, well, he's the goat. And then as soon as we all heard about he does puzzles and bakes cakes and all that stuff, you're like, damn, it's easy to cheer for this guy. I hope he becomes
yeah.
a player.
You're praying he gets there. And he's given the opportunity. Because, quite frankly, I didn't think he was even going to be on the team this year.
No, I didn't
I thought he was on life support.
Yeah, when they signed Spezza and they brought in Nick Shore, I'm like, all right, the GOAT's probably in big trouble. And you're right about, you know, the fourth line in the eyes of Babcock, but also the importance of actually making an impact. No coach is going to scoff at that. Like, Babcock kind of attempted to publicly after the game, when he was talking about Timoshov, where he's like, yeah, the goals and everything, that's just a bonus. Well, it's a pretty substantial bonus.
Exactly.
Like, that's kind of why you play, is to score. So, yeah, I get it. You're trying to send a message. I just want you to play hard and hit and pick up your man. But in reality, there isn't a coach in the league who's going to say, well, right. you're scoring a little bit too much.
Yeah,
or you're
exactly.
creating a little bit too much offense, where I'd prefer if you chip and change. So go out there and make a difference if you can. And if you do, you're going to play more.
Well, so now, like, so I'm assuming, I just got off the plane, but I'm assuming that line's playing again tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I would go back with him.
Yeah.
And so if you think of it, they're kind of physically built as a fourth line might be, right? Like, even though Timoshov's not a big guy, like, he's built like Trevor Moore. And, like, I was surprised when I saw him. Like, he's thicker than I thought. Like, he's... You know, he's a pretty stout guy. The goat, as Babcock likes to say, he's 6'5" every shift.
Yeah.
And then Shore's a pretty big guy. So, you know, you look at the other group they're competing with, because, you know, Gauthier's a constant. And Spezza and Patan don't really seem to, like, they're not the same. You're not even in a direct competition, even though they are for those spots, because they play so differently. And if Babcock has in his head he wants the bigger, stronger fourth line, then those other guys are in trouble.
Well, I think it's a glass half full type of win on Saturday because of the guys who got the job done. McKay have played well. That fourth line played well. And, yeah, Marner and Tavares, they're still kind of lost in the fog. They just have not shown up yet. They have not made an impact. But they're going to. They're too good of players. I said in the previous hour, it's not like Mitch Marner is going to have 38 points. Like, it's not going to happen. They're going to get it together. So if you can get something out of the players where you were nervous about what they might supply, and they might actually continue to be consistent? Wait until the big boys do show up, then you get the team you were hoping to see.
Well, Ray, when you were playing, when you were scoring a lot of goals and it wasn't quite clicking, what were your expectations as far as what was coming up? Would you think that you might see a couple shifts on a different line and then you get reunited? Or what would your expectation be to help things start clicking? Because sometimes just going out there shift after shift is not necessarily the best recipe for guys to get it going.
No, my biggest problem was I start to get frustrated, and then you become frustrated with your line mates, you become frustrated with yourself. Then I would start to cheat and try and score more than playing like a regular game. So when I got, I liked the new line once in a while when I was struggling, just because, you know, it was like something different to look at. And the guys that I was playing with didn't have to look at me anymore, right? They were like, okay, we can just go play. However, I don't know if you know, if it's, you know, if you could even really communicate that. Like, the coach might have to see it and say, okay, I'm going to move these guys around a bit. Babcock doesn't do that very much. Like, in his time in Toronto, he hasn't done it at all, really. The lines stay the same. He might move a guy for a game or two. Like, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't you just for a period, flip Kapanen and Moore?
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be an easy flip for me. Like, leave Mikhaev where he is. I think he's been the best story of the season so far. I'm super impressed with a guy that I didn't know anything about.
Really. He's got a little bit of Mark Stone in him, where it's like he's got a long reach and he's always around pucks and batting them down.
Really
and
strong on pucks, yeah.
Because didn't it seem like, oh yeah, they got this guy and they're blowing smoke when they signed him last year and whatever. He'll come in and he'll, you know, maybe he can chip in a little bit, but man, he's good. Like, he deserves the minutes he's getting.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player.
So maybe Kapanen go, if you put Kapanen there, this is how I would think anyway. He's on the right side. He's pretty clearly a rush player to open up some space. And then you would put more of a cycle player in Moore with Tavares and Marner. And as much as they dance all over on the rush, Marner does, they get a lot in the zone. Like, when they're playing well and they would grind a puck out and then Marner would lose somebody in the zone, and it would be more of a half-ice game, where Kapanen, I think, is, you know, is better on the other side of the ice when he can really open it up. There was, and that would be a change I make.
A report over the weekend that Dubas was just in Russia talking with players. So clearly they have a scout over there, which every team would.
Right.
But they got somebody that they trust who's saying, I got to read on the next crop, because that's what they're banking on here. They know they don't have a lot of cap room, and you can't rely on an 18-year-old you just drafted.
And there's something else here, guys. It got reported, and then it kind of went away. But next year, I believe the KHL is contracting again. You know, so they're going to make, there'll be fewer player or fewer teams. But there's also some kind of, I don't want to call it a cap, but it's some kind of financial system that makes it more likely that more players would be available to come over. And so I'm curious if a guy like Dubas says, or if it makes it harder for guys to go play there, so more players free themselves up. Maybe those are the guys you're looking at in your roster, like another entry-level guy like Mikhaev, because they're going to need the space all the time. Whatever it is, in whatever year, they're always going to need it until the cap jumps $5 or $6 million.
Edmonton and Chicago tonight, a chance to go 6-0 on the road too, man. Like, through New York, and they go 3-0 in New York, and now they're in Chicago tonight, and Chicago's not like they're world beaters. They got an opportunity. I believe they're home after this.
Yeah.
6-0 flying back to Edmonton, man, that would feel good.
Well, they are. Their next game's Wednesday in Edmonton. I'm doing that one. So I'm sure of it. They're the first team in NHL history to win their first five games when they've trailed in every game. Like, it's kind of crazy the way that they've been able to put this together and go on this run right out of the gate. Like, you know, of course it's unsustainable and you're not going to win every game, but they've already put 10 points in the bag. So really now they've got 77 games left and they need 82 points. you're getting close to a 500 scenario here because they've already thrown these points in the bag. It's really a pretty amazing start.
They've yeah, no
good
kidding.
Good goaltending. You know, they're getting all their goals from kind of from four guys, which is interesting. And so you'll need more from the rest of them, but they got a couple young defensemen. Ethan Bear has played really well. When Larson went out, they're like, wow, we got to play these kids, and they've done well. It's been an amazing story for them.
You know what I was shocked by?
How much turkey you ate?
Yeah, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Both days?
It was disgusting. Oh, yeah, we were up at my wife's dad's on Saturday. We were at my parents' place yesterday. It was a double down. It was gluttonous. It was not good. But how the Philadelphia Flyers didn't protest their schedule early into the season and just say, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Like, imagine Europe and then to Van?
They go Europe, home for a game, and then Vancouver, and they got a point on Saturday night. That might have been the most impressive point in NHL history based on the schedule.
Like, what we talked about. Why would you want that?
It's gross. It should be unacceptable. That shouldn't happen.
Well, so their first five games are, as you mentioned, they're in Prague, Philly, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. Thanks very much. And they should have won in Vancouver. Like, they dominated the third period. Markstrom was awesome.
Yeah, he was.
And then, but they're, I think Philly, they look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. I think Carter Hart looks good.
Carter Hart's a hell of a goalie, and I, you know, you don't want to lay this type of pressure on him, but he looks to me, even watching him for the last couple of years, like he's got all the tools to be a superstar in this league. Like, and that's rare at that age, at 21.
Just think, they used 8 goalies last year.
Yeah.
8 of them. It's like, almost like, you know, do you have pads? Good, come and play.
Yeah.
And now this kid shows up, and maybe for the first time, well, I can't even think who'd be, I think Ron Hextall was probably their last really, really solid guy.
Yeah, an everyday guy, absolutely. I mean, they rolled through some starters, Ray, but it was at the end of their careers. Like, there was Sean Burks.
And right. Van Beesbrook.
But wasn't the Cat down there at some point? Did Felix Potvin ever play
I don't know if he was in Philly.
They had that Cat, Roman Čechmánek.
Oh, Čechmánek. Oh.
Yeah.
He looked like Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
He was a big dude, wasn't he?
But he did,
but
guy,
remember, he made some crazy Spider-Man save. He was all over the place. He couldn't catch a thing.
No,
he didn't save many of my shots.
Was, I thought I read a stat. That was when Hitch was coaching. He was one of the fastest goaltenders to 25 shutouts. And I'll never forget.
Čechmánek
was, because the system there, Hitch had that team just so tight defensively. But Hitch did that for, think of the goaltenders, Marty Turco, Eddie Belfour.
Nitamaki was one of the other guys but that put up big numbers.
Pascal LeClair in Columbus.
I was just
going to
say, Pascal LeClair had 10 shutouts, or 9 or 10 one year in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, Hitch made goaltenders, and Čechmánek was one of them. I remember Aginla went to dump it in one time in Calgary from our side of the red line, and he was going 10 feet wide. Čechmánek came out and went to stop it, fell down, and it dropped his stick somehow. It hit his stick and rolled in the net. Aginla wasn't even paying attention. He was sitting on the bench. They gave him the goal.
Nice.
It was unreal.
Huh? He scores 600. You're probably going to score a bad one every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, we got a text here before we let you go. I got to read this because this is going to infuriate people in Montreal, which I want to do on a holiday Monday.
Why not?
Michael with the new nickname for the GOAT, Jean Beligoat.
Oh, no.
He's Jean Beligoat. Tomorrow night, you have to use that, Ray. Jean Beligoat. Same, he's a graceful player, French Canadian, shoots left.
Yeah.
He's basically Jean Beligoat.
No.
Only in Toronto, he's a fourth liner.
Beligoat.
I was going to say, if you would have said, pick a player from the past that he reminds you of, that might have been the last guy I selected.
Well.
The graceful Jean Beligoat.
The gentleman himself, Jean Beligoat. That's what he'll be referred to on this show.
That's very fun.
Shout out to Michael for texting
in. I love that.
On a holiday Monday.
That's great.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have missed it.
Yeah. Well, you're in Toronto already, right?
Why don't we just call him Frederick Lafleur? Screw it. Frederick Lafleur.
That doesn't top Jean Beliveau.
That would cause a riot.
Beliveau is outstanding. Like as revered as Lafleur is in Montreal, Beliveau is on
another level,
a completely different level.
And he's like the monarchy. He's regal.
Right. It's him and the Rocket, basically.
Yeah. Hashtag on the road to 50.
On the road to 50 and the Hall of Fame, for that matter. All right, buddy.
Lafleur.
Tomorrow night.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. And I just talked to Dre because I'm going to go up and watch. I got Minnesota, so I want to watch their game. Dre said that was a rather painful afternoon.
I watched it this afternoon, Ray.
And?
Well, if you need a nap before dinner.
This is the one?
Yeah. Not good.
Not good. Brucey Boudreaux's on the board.
Yeah.
Big W for Minnie.
Yeah.
He'll be in a good mood tomorrow. So
he always will be. Rooting for the Leafs tomorrow night. Can't wait for that. All right, buddy.
Okay, boys. Have a good day.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at mapletoyota.com. Jean Beliveau.
Frédéric Lafleur.
That's awesome. The Rocket.
That would infuriate.
Frédéric Gauthier.
That would infuriate, though.
Oh, in Montreal, it would be so insulting.
That's like
Maurice Gauthier, the Rocket.
He's from, I believe, Laval. He's a Montreal guy.
That's like saying, you know, Nate Thompson, their fourth line centerman in Montreal, calling him Dougie
Thompson.
Dougie Thompson.
Well,
Wendell Thompson. And people would, they would almost call that sacrilegious.
Yeah, it's a bit of a unnecessary jab.
It's a bit of a stretch.
I don't think the goat is actually Jean Beliveau.
No.
But I like the handle, Jean Beliveau.
It's fantastic.
He keeps playing like that, he's going to get a lot of love.
Yeah.
Marcellus Wiley, what's up with Baker Mayfield? Does Jason Garrett survive down in Dallas?
I thought he was cooked last night.
It's not good. And you lose three in a row and at New York.
Especially when Jerry Jones comes out and says, well, if we were one of the better teams, and then he looks in the camera and goes, clearly we're not.
Yeah. He's not taking the bullet. No. It's not on Jerry. It's got to be on somebody else.
It is.
So we'll get to Marcellus Wiley. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Frédéric Gretzky?
Let's just get crazy. Crazy about Freddie the Goat.
Wayne Gauthier.
I like it, man. It rings.
Mario Gauthier.
Mario Le Goat.
Yeah.
Jean Beliveau. That's my go-to.
Yeah, I like that.
Whenever
that
he plays well, he's Jean Beliveau.
We got to get back to the goat tracker at some point.
No,
we don't like track it anymore.
You don't like the goat
tracker? That's old school, man. We're a progressive radio show. We're always, you know, developing and
my favorite
evolving.
Bit was always the hyperbaric chamber player of the.
Yeah, but it's night. Such a long history. We got to tell people about the hyperbaric chamber. You know, exactly the origin story of the hyperbaric chamber.
And I don't think guys enjoy themselves like that anymore.
Well, that's another thing. If you got caught in the hyperbaric chamber today, you'd be
trouble. You've been boozing all night. That's the reason why I used to get put in the hyperbaric chamber, is to get out of a tough night. And
to shake off a hangover, basically.
Exactly, to not be hungover on the ice.
Now, it's intended for injury recovery.
Correct.
Like, if you're really suffering from something, you're supposed to get into the hyperbaric chamber. But if you've just had 45 vodkas the night before...
My trainer used to just... He would look at me in the morning and just point to the hyperbaric chamber.
Get in there for 20.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. We're bag skating today. You really need to get into the hyperbaric
exactly.
chamber. I like that, man. So there's a lot to get into. We got a big Monday nighter tonight. Battle in the NFC North. Detroit's been surprisingly good.
Yep.
They've been good this year. And Matt Stafford and the Lions have played the Packers well recently. So we're teeing that game up. What's up with Baker Mayfield? What's up with Jason Garrett? What's up with Patrick Mahomes? Here's a longtime NFLer, co-host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, regular contributor here on Overdrive, Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. You got the fat out there right now. Everybody's eating, huh?
Oh, yeah, we don't do it as large as you guys do, though.
Oh, it's like literally a turkey dinner, and then see you later, people. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
That's your best holiday, man. You guys, you own Thanksgiving down there.
Man, it feels that way, but we certainly don't own the gym right after it. Everyone's just laboring after Thanksgiving, man. It packs on the pounds around here, but It is fun to watch some football and devour everything you see. That is a good day.
Did you ever enjoy playing on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, no. I would say yeah, because there's so many family members in town, and you just want a little break from everyone just kind of clamoring around, and you just want to break it up. That's pretty cool. But yeah, at the same time, you want to make sure you get home and get some of that grandmother's great sweet potato pie and be around your family. But it did get a little overwhelming, because when you're in the league, obviously you're the star and the family all wants to come around, and every single gathering is now at your house. So it is kind of good to break that up a little bit and make sure you go and handle some business.
Marcellus, what the hell's going on in Dallas? We have one of our insiders in this building who is a diehard fan, and he is, I would guess, devastated right now by watching them. Can you explain? Like, people were talking, this is one of the best teams on paper. They've got all the ingredients, and it's a bit of a mess right now.
Yeah, a little disappointing on defense compared to expectations. Ezekiel Elliott has not been exactly the same, maybe just one deviation or so. Slower start than expected, but still a good player. But 28 rushes, barely over 100 yards. I think they expect a little more out of him. Dak is a better passer than he's ever been, but at the same time, he's getting off to slow starts of late. And the most critical issue is probably the offensive line injuries up front and just battling through that. And Amari Cooper limps out of a game yesterday. So no matter who you're playing in the NFL, it's cliche, but they're talented. They are. And the margin of error is slim no matter who you're playing against. And if you're not fully loaded and fully motivated and you make mistakes, they'll come back to bite you, even against the winless Jets. So that's what happened when we saw yesterday.
Well, Jason Garrett is like Mr. 500. It feels like that. He's like the new Jeff Fisher, basically. Like, he can get you to 8-8, 9-7, maybe get you to the playoffs every once in a while. But I don't sense like he's ever a difference maker. Like, he's a guy where you watch a game or a game plan and you say they won that because of Garrett and his adjustments. Do you believe he actually is secure in Dallas?
Right now it's too early to tell. You got to remember they're 3-3 now, and they were 3-5 last year. And last year they ended up being 10-6. So they went on a run last year, obviously with the Amari Cooper trade, certainly helped them offensively. But they were in worse situation last year and finished out strong and had a chance in the playoffs, obviously. So, he's doing a little more than what he's getting credit for. I think he's just really a calming force, managing those personalities and keeping his team focused. They have a talented roster now, and the expectations have changed. So obviously the demands on him and his job have changed. But I don't think he's going to lose his job this year. I think Jerry Jones even echoed that after the game, saying, look, we were worse off last year. And despite all of their issues and their three-game losing streak, they're in first place in their division. And no team is scary in the NFC. I mean, there are a lot of good teams, 49ers, and you talk about Seahawks and Rams, but all beatable. If you look at it, there's no one that's really the big, bad terror, big, bad monster in the NFC. So right now you just got to ride the wave.
Well, you mentioned the Niners. They beat up on the Rams yesterday, and I saw this earlier today, this stat. Their plus 83 point differential is the team's best through five games since 1961. That includes the Dynasty 80s, Dynasty early 90s. Like, those are the kind of numbers that the Niners are putting up, and it's not because the offense has necessarily been explosive. They got the best defense in football right now.
Well, I think the Patriots want to say they have the
right
defense in football. Yeah, and I would go with the Patriots slightly, but the level of competition outside of this Rams game has been bad for both teams. They really haven't had to play anyone consistently. So it's going to be interesting how this season plays out. But, yeah, they have a squad. And if you look at them, especially up front, those are all first-rounders on that defensive line. So you got some bad men chasing you every single play, limiting Jared Goff to under 100 yards passing and a 54 completion percentage. And woof, just bad football. No Todd Gurley, injuries up front once again. And we saw Jared Goff just go out there and not put up a good performance in any capacity. But that defense is strong. They're 1-2 in terms of the Patriots and the 49ers defense. And it's allowing Jimmy Garoppolo to develop at his pace coming off an injury versus putting all that pressure on him to make sure that he's Superman from day one. It's a good team, and let's see how long it lasts.
As soon as I asked both of you on the same day about Goff and Mayfield, they've been garbage. Both of
them. They've both been awful. Yeah, they have been. I mean, Mayfield's a mess. Yeah. Like, a mess. He had, what, 3 picks again yesterday? He's got 11 picks already. What's going on with him?
Yeah. You know what's crazy? I heard the stat that since the Cleveland Browns came back to the NFL, they've had 30 quarterbacks. And he has the most turnovers of any of those 30 quarterbacks. And that includes, like, a Johnny Manziel. So the Baker Mayfield that we all grew to love at the end of last season and how fast he hit the ground running in terms of success and the offseason and all the popularity and commercial success, man, we have to question ourselves. He is a turnover machine, and as Rex Ryan said, it doesn't look like he's a multi-read quarterback. So what's happening to him is that he's really just shooting himself in the foot by all of the turnovers. They have tremendous success in the running game. Nick Chubb is a top 5 rusher by the numbers this year, but it all gets undermined once he turns the ball over. And since he became a starter, he has the most turnovers in the league, more than Jameis Winston, which is impossible to believe. So he needs to stop turning the ball over or he'll never have consistent success.
Packers, Lions tonight. How do you see this one playing out?
I think the Packers win this one. Despite, like you said earlier, the Detroit Lions are playing good football. The Packers have found a stride. It's an interesting dynamic. Less of Aaron Rodgers means more team success. And I'm not sure if Aaron Rodgers is fully comfortable being this game manager, but the one game he went out there and threw for over 400 yards that game. And every other game where he's around 230 yards, game management numbers, they win. So they have to rely on the defense, rely on the running game, and a lesser Aaron Rodgers. It's a weird formula, but it's so far the formula for success.
Enjoy it tonight, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Get in the gym. Work that Thanksgiving off.
Yeah, we will, man. Don't you worry about that. There's Marcellus Wiley, our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFLer. Where's your weight at on a Monday after Thanksgiving?
I don't eat that much. Like, I just do turkey and a little bit of mash. I don't do the ham.
What was your mom up to with this? Was it your mom or your grandma?
My mom. Ham, turkey. But I literally just grab a couple pieces of turkey, a little bit of mash, put gravy on it. That's all I like. I don't like the stuffing. I think stuffing's gross.
What about the cookies and the cake and all of that?
No dessert.
Well, I had a piece of lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, you got to go with that. If lemon meringue is in the house, you got to have it.
Should have seen the spread yesterday. Like, I needed a good workout this morning because it starts at lunch and then it spills over to dinner.
Right.
Right?
That's the Italian way, man.
Gnocchi. Started with gnocchi. A bowl of it.
It's exceptional, though. It's a great
with
dish.
Yeah, bolognese. Like,
it's a great dish.
That was, like, you're full. And then the ham comes out, and the turkey, and the potatoes, and the stuffing, and I'm telling you, it was a two-course, like,
a just double disaster.
Yeah. Lunch and dinner.
A food explosion.
And then the
what
desserts.
Did you feed?
I did both days, very similar. There are a couple of variations, one day to
ham?
The next, but no ham actually showed up.
I don't
it was
like
exclusively
ham.
Turkey.
I
don't mind ham every once in a while. Like a honey glazed is very,
that's
very
what
quality.
It was a honey glazed ham.
Yeah. You get a honey glaze going, I can get
ridiculous.
Down with that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But I doubled down turkey, stuffing, potatoes. Variation of, like, potatoes, different types.
Mashed.
Some squash. Do you get a squash in there?
No, turnip. No, nobody eats it year after year.
It was your mom brings out the turnip?
Oh, yeah. Got to have it.
Well, somebody eats it. Is your brother?
People put like one spoonful on to say they had it. Okay, Mom, we had a turnip.
Yeah,
are you happy now?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had turnip, ever.
Yeah, it's not my thing. We had a discussion about it yesterday. We had it on the table, and like no one was eating it either. My one sister was really trying to like provoke people into trying it. And we're like, yeah, we're all adults. Like, we're going to choose our own thing to eat. What does it matter to you?
Yeah, exactly.
But she was like persistent. Like, you got to have some.
Well, maybe she made it.
She did. Oh, she absolutely
she
did.
And so then she wanted you guys
You just give her the thumbs down and say, don't bring it next year.
Yeah. I didn't ask you to bring it. But I'm not going to eat it just because you're demanding that I put it on the plate.
You know how rattled she'd be home?
Yeah.
Driving on the way home, though?
Oh, I'm sure I got carved on the way home.
Just like the nerve of him to not try the turnip.
And for him to clap back and say, what does it matter what I eat? Like, why is that your priority? I don't care what you eat. Go ahead and eat whatever you want.
Did your sister leave it behind or did she take it with?
Oh, we didn't get anything to go. I noticed that. Really? I think she may have taken everything because we didn't get any food to go. Nothing.
That was your punishment for not trying the
turnip. I was thinking about it today at lunch. We put in like a pizza. I'm like, what are we doing? Day after Thanksgiving, we're eating pizza. Should have turkey. Should have all types of leftovers.
Turkey sandwich.
Did not happen. If you don't host, you're waiting for the host to be like, here, we'll give you some food. You can't ask for food.
Did your sister host?
No, it's at my parents' place.
To go bag. Here's the turnip.
I was just going to say, you got the turnip to go.
Yeah, maybe we did. It's on the 401 right now. TJ Quinn from ESPN. Pretty heavy topic, but really fascinating topic about Tyler Skaggs and what happened with him. Angels pitcher passed away. Turns out drug abuse.
Right.
But where he was getting the opioids from someone within the organization.
Yeah.
How much did the Angels actually know? We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. And there's a lot of people tweeting in. Frederick Gauthier nicknames. A lot of great ones coming in. So we'll keep you updated on that. I am going down with Jean Beligoat. I love that handle. But try to convince me that there's a better one out there. And if you can, we'll read them on the air. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so we're looking for a new nickname for Freddy the Goat. We just got to add to it. Like, the Goat isn't going to cut it, because if he's made it and he's an established NHLer.
Wayne Gotsky.
Wayne Gotsky. Andrew tweeting in, Luke Goatbatai.
What?
I don't mind that. Luke Goatbatai.
Goatbatai.
Luke Goatbatai. There's a lot
That's
of them.
That's a pretty good one.
Will tweeting in, Goaty Howe.
Oh.
I like that. Goaty Howe.
Some solid.
Dave, the Golden Goat. There's a lot of good options here.
Goat.
The Big G.
He's become a folk hero.
Instead of the Big E, the Big G.
Oh, yeah. The Big G.
The Big F.
The Big F.
Freddy the Goat.
Yeah. So there's a lot of options. I still like Jean Beligoat, personally. But
Beligoat is ridiculous.
Beligoat is a spectacular comparison.
Very
similar. Their games, very graceful.
They get
two-way players.
You know that Tony Marinaro or whatever, he'll drive down here. That guy gets pretty worked up.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. Hey, what are you going to do, man? It's early in the season.
Exactly.
Okay?
And I got road to 50.
He's got a lot of points, man, early on. That fourth line is alive. So we got a big football game tonight. We got to talk about that. Lions at Lambeau.
Who's got the choice?
He does. The O-Dog.
And the money tree was hanging there this last week. Was it last Monday?
Yeah, it was. Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. Yeah, it's not been going so well for me.
Do we have a kind of a spread? I'm not even asking you, because I wouldn't put it past you to give me a wrong type of line.
No, well, the grappler can look it up.
With the spread?
Yeah, look up the spread of the football game tonight. I love when the Packers have an isolated game. It's great. We got a baseball game tonight. How about the Nats up 2-0?
Yeah.
They storm back in the wild card game, storm back in game 5 against the Dodgers, and then they're just like, boom.
They're cooking, man.
They are moving. They got Strasburg on the mound tonight, too. So, you know, Flaherty's out there for the Cards, and he's going to have to pitch a gem tonight.
Yeah.
Because Strasburg in the playoffs is legit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good story in terms of them finally figuring things out. We've seen that a lot in Toronto recently.
Yeah, it is. Well, the narratives around some of these games, pretty good. Like, I can't wait for the next round, too. Just keeps mowing.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, and it's fantastic. Not like the Yankees. I love that Houston won last night because I don't have a dog in the fight. I just would like to see it go the distance.
But the Yankees they're favored, are they not?
I don't think they're favored anymore. They would not have been favored going into the series. I don't know what the line was, but Houston had more wins during the regular season. They've got Verlander and Cole. the Yankees made a statement in game one.
Yeah.
And last night they had an opportunity to win that game.
That would have been massive.
If they were up 2-0 going back to Yankee Stadium, they would be, it's over. Probably over. But now 1-1, and you got to face Gerrit Cole in game three, and Verlander coming back in game six, and Cole in seven if it gets there. That's not going to be easy, man.
Yeah,
but you can't go wrong this time of year. It's outstanding. The Raptors are back in town. They were playing yesterday. The Queen of the North was in attendance, Bianca Andreescu.
Oh, was she?
She's got to be there for a regular season game, though.
Yeah, but you know Drake will be sniffing around her. It'll be painful.
He'll be there opening night. I don't think her schedule allows her to be there opening night.
She hasn't won since she...
It doesn't matter.
I know, I saw that.
Who cares?
Packers giving four.
That's right. Think about it. We'll get back to it in the next hour. Confirm or deny coming up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.